So we're trying to figure out how careful we have to be in keeping Shabbat. So you mentioned already that Shabbat becomes like the wedding ring of the Jewish people to Hashem. Ring comes off, we're done. Okay? Let's have a look at a very unusual halachic proof to this as well. And it's on page 65. And this proof comes from Moshe Schwab. He describes it rather. But we know from Chazal some unusual halacha, which is Hatam, the reason, Shelo Tokim B'Shofar B'Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbat. Why do we not blow a shofar, sound a shofar, on Shabbat that falls on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is a two-day festival for us, here and in Eretz Yisrael. If Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbat, the custom has become not to sound a shofar. Right? You want me to shul on Shabbat? On Rosh Hashanah? No one sounds a shofar. Don't worry, you'll hear it the second day. You with me? Whitney, you got it? Good. Why? That's the question we're going to have a look at, and we're going to learn something incredible about Shabbat because of it. And it goes like this, page 65. Rabbi Schwab Lomed, et godal hazir shiesh lizhab masa aveira. We're going to learn another reason, or another proof, actually, as to why and how we are so careful when it comes to not breaking Shabbat, the Shamor aspect of Shabbat. What do we learn this out from? What is the proof of this? Mitakarat Chazal, there was a takana. A takana is a gezera, a decree by the rabbis. The rabbis made this. What was this decree? Shalolet ko b'shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Do not sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Shechalia b'Shabbat, that falls on Shabbat. Did anyone think right now what's unusual about that decree? Just on any previous knowledge you have, what's so unusual about that decree? Why is that so extraordinary? What is it? Where is the obligation to hear the shofar come from? Right, from Har Sinai, from the Torah. The Torah tells us to do it. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? It is a Torah mandated mitzvah. That means it's big. We're not going to mess around. Why do you think we don't sound the shofar on Shabbat? That falls in Rosh Hashanah.
Because Shabbat is already a sign.
Oh, you're getting very deep already. You've jumped two steps ahead. Don't apologize. You're doing good. You jumped two steps ahead. On a halachic, technical level, you happen to be correct, by the way, that's going to be part of the answer, part of it. We're going to learn two things from this example. But on a pshat level, yeah?
Maybe the shofar was used in Beit HaMikdash?
You guys are very deep.
Part of the malachas?
Actually, there is no problem sounding the shofar on Shabbat, technically speaking. It's not one of the malachot of Shabbat. Sounding the shofar is not one of the malachot of Shabbat. So what are we concerned about? What are the rabbis scared of that they forbade you sounding a shofar?
Carrying.
You may come to carry it. Yeah, but there's nothing to do with it. It's a straight instrument. There's no tunes it plays. No problem. There's no gazero when it comes to it. We don't do it. But that's not what they're worried about. They were concerned you may come to carry it. That's unusual. Why is that unusual?
Because you're allowed to carry some other things with an Eruv.
You can carry things with an Eruv. Yeah. Right? Rabbi, so you have an Eruv set up.
Yes,
what else? Who usually sounds the shofar?
Yeah.
Right? The Baal Tokeh could be a rabbi, could be anybody else in the community, actually. But a Baal Tokeh does it. He can keep it in shul! Keep it in shul! What's the big deal?
We do,
100%. So keep it in shul. So what are we concerned about? That the possibility, exactly, Whitney, the possibility that a person may need to practice the shofar, because it's a lot of practice, or carry it. But I live in an Eruv, or I don't know. I'll keep it in shul. I invite people to my house to hear the shofar if it's left over there. There's many ways I could get out of it. Things that as you're right, with other mitzvot, we're not so concerned about. We will organize the mitzvot to make sure we're not machal Shabbat. But for some reason over here, we get very strict. Let's have a look at the words inside. What is the chashash, the concern? Right? Which we don't have either mitzvah when it comes to Shabbat. We don't say you can't, I don't know, invite people to your house for Shabbat, maybe they'll carry something to you. I don't know if they come to you for Shabbat. We don't say that. But over here, suddenly we get very strict. It's out of character with the rest of Shabbat. We have people carry sidurim to shul, says an Eruvah. We have no concern with that. Over here, suddenly, no. So let's say, what's the chashash? What's the concern? The chashash. Mechashash shema, perhaps. Ha'adam yikach shofar. We're worried, the rabbis were worried, maybe a person will take the shofar. V'yivin la'adam babaki. Bring it to an expert. Okay. Binyan shofar, who knows how to sound the shofar. Kidei shalom yidenu et ha'adurush lot. So you can teach him how to blow the shofar. What are we concerned about? He's going to start carrying the shofar on Shabbat. And carrying is one of the 39 melachot. Okay. But we're concerned that maybe this guy is not such a good sounder. He didn't practice so much. He's going to want to practice on Shabbat. He's not living in a Neiruv. I mean, that's the scenario we're creating over here, is it not? And there's another person who doesn't know how to sound the shofar. And he's going to teach him. And this one guy may carry the shofar to his friend's house or shul or wherever to learn how to play it. I mean, would you call that far-fetched?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's far-fetched. It's not the whole community. This is one guy. Very unusual. It's unusual. We're not that strict with Shabbat. We allow people to carry things on Shabbat, right? Most cities have a Reuven, and we allow people to do it. Yet over here, we're getting very, very strict. It's out of character, even with Shabbat itself. Never mind the other mitzvot. Whitney, hold your question, my darling. Maybe it'll be answered. Let me finish off. I'm on a roll. What is the actual malacha? Or there is a real malacha here. I mean, the rabbis aren't making it up. You cannot carry an item for a mot, for arm's lengths, what is that, 6 feet, in a public domain. Okay, that's the malacha. That's a real malacha. In Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Right? We spoke about Rosh Hashanah Rabbim as opposed to Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the Karmelis or Makam Pator. We spoke about the four different domains. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, by the way, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a real Torah domain. Hundreds of thousands of people. A very wide street, at least 60 number wide, right? People go through. That's what we're worried about. One guy, at one time, who's not an expert in shofar, perhaps mistakenly, lives in a city that has no Eruv, and he's going to carry the shofar to his friend to learn how to play it. But don't worry, come to the house for Shabbat and bring your stuff with you. In a Neiruv. Oh, that I'm okay with. But this I'm not. And this is a Mitzvah Doraisa. This is a Torah Mitzvah. There's no Torah Mitzvah for you to come to my house on Shabbat. Eat your cholent in your own house. Right? So something's cooking over here. And it's not just the cholent and the kugel. Right? Okay, so let's see what he says. So we have to go a little bit deeper. There's something going on with this gezeira, this takana. Takana. This decree that the rabbis made, right? Which, by the way, is so serious, by the way, that there isn't a single Jewish community that sounds a shofar, Orthodox one anyway, in the entire world on Shabbat. This was well accepted. No one does it. Even communities that live within an Eruv that everyone holds by. Rabbi community. Right? So something's going on over here. Mao Tamatkana, what's the reason for it? Let's get a little bit deeper with this. Shami Avinu Daladam Babush the Rabbi, we're going to carry four amot in this public domain. Follow inside, 65, second paragraph. Kasheret bonen b'chashasem. We think about this concern, b'sechel shabbat shalano, that, I mean, in common sense-wise, lonesem makom levatel mikol yisraelim shach tekufa rucha mitzvah shofar. How can you stop the entire Jewish people doing a Torah-obligated mitzvah, standing the shofar, the writer, because of the possibility that one person is going to be over the derisa. Even if they live in a Carmelite with no Eruv, it doesn't make sense. We've used a perhaps of a rabbinic decree, right, to push off a Torah decree. Sharik delia gila efshurat shel chashash, because in order to get to the place, the efshurat, the possibility of this happening, zaleinu lachashash tchila. First, you got to consider about sham yishkach adam shofar b'beito. A guy left his shofar at home, right? V'gam azadayin en midchayim mizechel Shabbat. And by the way, even then, even if he got a shofar at home, doesn't break Shabbat, what could he do? Sound the shofar at home. Ki harei efshal l'shmo gam b'beito. Shofar is not connected to a synagogue. I mean, it's the best place to do it because a lot of people there. But he can sound the shofar in his house if he wants to. He's supposed to sound the shofar, right? You go to hospitals. I had a friend once in the hospital, couldn't hear the shofar. I took the shofar to her Rosh Hashanah, not Shabbat, right? Carried it, because you can carry. Went up to the hospital and sounded the shofar for her. Right? That's okay. So, in order to get to this point, there's a lot of hurdles of improbability, or remote possibility at least, that have to be crossed. There's another possibility. And he forgets that it's Shabbat and carries it for. So he forgets it at home. That's one possibility, which is unlikely, but okay, fine. I mean, if that happens, just go home and play it, right? And then he forgets that he lives in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, which itself, by the way, is far-fetched nowadays, right? Especially going back. And he carries it. So he forgets Shabbat as well. It's also highly unlikely, right? So there's many, many more such far-fetched scenarios that we've created in order for this guy, one guy, to mess up. This mitzvah is coming to teach us something. There's a lesson that's being learned from this gezeira that's going to teach us something, actually a couple of things which are very, very important. And here they are. Imkein, kesharu motzim shemishum chashash rechol. Because of this far-fetched, he said this is a far-fetched scenario. That could happen to one person in 1,000 years, right? That he's going to forget it, Rosh Hashanah, have him in Shabbat, lives at home, thinks of his friend, forgets his Shabbos. It's highly unlikely. We nullify all the Jewish people right through Jewish history from hearing the Shofar and Shabbat, Rosh Hashanah. By the way, this is a Torah mitzvah, as we said. There's something being taught over here. Page 66. Let's have a look. And he says like this. What does the shofar actually do? The shofar has one actual job. I mean, the Rambam says we're not too sure. And it's like an alarm clock to wake us up, he says. We don't use that lashon, right? But we know there's one main feature of Rosh Hashanah. What is that feature of Rosh Hashanah? We're mamlech Hashem. We don't do teshuvah on Rosh Hashanah. We make Hashem our king, right? The shofar is the heralding cry, if you will, right? That we sound to mamlech Hashem, to make Hashem king. That is one of the three themes of Rosh Hashanah. That's the main one. Mamlech Hashem, make Hashem king over us. Beginning of the year, Hashem is my king, and then the year gets going. Okay, so what is the shofar doing? It is announcing. The shofar is the way we announce. Why a shofar is not for now? It's interesting. It's one note. It's from a natural animal. The rest of things, but it announces Hashem's malchus, Hashem's kingship over the world. That is a nice short summary of what Rosh Hashanah is. By the way, that's pretty much it. Everything else is extra. It's all about being Mamlech Hashem, making Hashem king. Okay. Kach hi ba alidei hamida shel zehirut. Now, there is a character trait called zehirut, which we're going to translate as being watchful over yourself, being careful. Okay. In general, this trait. Let's try to figure this piece out. This trait is something we have to work on. It's a mida. In addition to this, ein lecha kabbalat ol mal shemayim shlo techlo b'tocha mida zu. If you want to accept Hashem over you, there has to be this mida, zahirut. I'm wary, I'm careful, zahir, I'm conscious to things. Right? The Gemara says, let's go through this piece and we'll try to tie it together. Rav Pinchas ben Yair, one of the great sages of the Talmud, Ma'amidet Zehirut Ketzad Rishon Bavad Hashem, says actually, watchfulness, as is referred to, is one of the first things when it comes to serving Hashem. Watchfulness, watching out what you do, what you say, whatever, in any situation, being careful. Watch yourself. So that's a very important feature when it comes to our relationship with Hashem. Mi Shechafes Liot Shaykh El Avodat Hashem, whoever wants to have a connection to Hashem, Chayav liot shorui b'pachad. There should be a concern, pachad, fear. Shema lo yetzei tiyudei chavato, that I didn't fulfill my obligation. Okay, that's what he means by watchfulness. Right? I'm careful about what I do. Am I doing it correctly? Am I saying the right thing? I mean, think about it, what we do as Jews. Right? Can I eat that? Can I say this? What time is it? What time is Shabbat come in? Generally speaking, we're watchful over what we do, what we say. Hashem, Torah, covers our entire lives. Ulai en ze ela masaveru, because maybe what I'm doing is a mistake. So we're constantly watchful over our actions, our thoughts, whatever it is. Now, kashiyavu adam litkob shofar b'shabbat. When a person comes to sound the shofar on Shabbat, pulen asura, something which actually is not asura in and of itself. Shekein chachmati ve'en a melacha. It's a chachma, it's not a melacha. Sound the shofar is not one of the melachot. Ela shekayim chashash ruchok. But there is a distinct scenario, remote though it is, he may forget the shofar, and then forgets and carries it on Shabbat, because he forgot the Shabbat, he forgot that's the law of Shabbat, you can't carry. Hare gam, kesha lemase enu mavir dalad amoshes harabim, mavir barbecue mitzvot chasron zihirut. You see, what we're concerned about is a person is not going to be watchful over their actions. That's why the rabbi said, they said, you know, there's something else that is being taught to us through Shabbat and through this example, and that is, you've got to be very, very careful about Shabbat. So much so, that even a remote possibility, which even he says is 1 in 1,000, that could possibly happen, is so important to us that we don't transgress it, not blow the shofar. For all of Jewish history, on Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat. It's all about this midah, this character of watchfulness. Do so careful. So even the possibility, the remote possibility something could happen on Shabbat, that we carry the shofar, dalad amot, I mean, even though I don't even touch the shofar, I don't care. We're learning something about Shabbat, that breaking Shabbat is equal to a remote possibility of carrying a shofar, which is highly unlikely. And we take more concern on that possibility than the Torah mitzvah like blowing the shofar. That is the first reason, unusual though it is, and out of character with the rest of Shabbat even, or other mitzvot I should say, that we don't sound it. Yeah.
Should it be a lot stricter with everything?
I know, you would have thought. I know, I agree. And we're not, because it seems to be, this was the test case that we're learning this out from. Now we're going to add something else to it to straighten things out. We're going to add another reason. But just on a basic level, we're learning from this, why this was chosen, I'm not sure. But we're learning from here, that's how careful we have to be.
Right, but that would only make sense if it made sense for every other situation, too.
Right. But the rabbis didn't do that to us. They want us to enjoy Shabbat. They want us to go out. Right? They give us a chance to make an Eruv. They want us to.
Then we can't even say that about this, then.
No. Because this was used as the example to teach us. You can do other stuff, but be very, very careful. We're very careful when it comes to Shabbat. Like crazy careful. Use that lesson for the rest of it. Be very careful when you walk. Zahirut in all your actions, but we're learning it out from Shabbat. This was used the example. You can use an Eruv. The rabbis taught us how to make an Eruv. But the watchfulness of Shabbat and the importance of it was used in one particular scenario. But you're right, it's weird because you can carry a Shabbat with an Eruv. We have a Karmelid, right? Be careful, it's just a rabbi. We assume people know.
It doesn't seem like a good example if it's not
going to be. So why was this example chosen by the rabbis? They could do something else. Because you can't carry your kids. Didn't say that. Can't take a food to somebody else. Didn't say that. You can do that if you want to. There's going to be some other factor to what the shofar is that we're going to add to this in a second. Yeah. The shofar is sounded Motze Yom Kippur.
Oh,
not on Yom Kippur.
It's not Jewish
no. Yeah.
So why is it okay to have some job?
You can! No problem, set it up!
Right.
You can do a lot of things on Shabbat. I know, we're okay with that. We're okay with that.
Why?
We're not concerned. People will make the right reparations. Okay, so in most cases, we assume that people have the common sense and will know. Here, we're like, no. But why should it be? And this is even stranger because this is a Torah mitzvah for that day. You can't sound the shofar 2 days later.
Oh, maybe because they think, like, it's on the same level. I should bring this.
So now we're going to add one more piece in, which is that you actually don't need to sound the shofar. Okay? So that has to be in tandem with the first answer, because what the shofar does for you, Shabbat does anyway. What the shofar does for you, does so anyway. Okay? Meaning that the power of Shabbat itself and keeping Shabbat itself gives you Zehirut. And sorry, the power of Shabbat and being careful with everything you do on Shabbat will help you be Mamlach Hashem, Hashem, your king. So it's not needed, say the rabbis, because the job is done anyway through Shabbat. Which meaning, why do you sound the shofar? Because you need to learn something. You need to Mamlach Hashem. The fact that they said you don't need to means actually Shabbat does the job anyway. That's another lesson, and that's a real lesson. So we're learning two things about Shabbat. Number one, you have to feel, by knowing this halacha and learning this, with all your actions, through speech and through thought, that you're constantly aware on Shabbat, fearful, lifnei kol pu'ula shema ani ba l'dei avera. If we're willing to push off a Torah mitzvah through a possibility, it must be that breaking Shabbat is like really bad. Answer one. Answer two. Okay, maybe this was chosen because actually you don't need it. You're going to learn two different things from one halacha. You don't actually need it. Because Shabbat does the job. That's also why the rabbis said, you know what? On the possibility, since it's being done anyway, the accomplishment of the shofar is being done anyway, it's still okay to avoid it. But don't forget the first lesson. We're still learning out that the rabbis were very, very careful. Don't be careful how you treat Shabbat. Im elach b'derasu efshar, sovev li aveira, im mista kalkan, or edaber imze, echshal. We should learn out from this idea, which we're doing right now, everything else is Shabbat. Kefor I say, kefor I do. The rabbis pushed away a Torah mitzvah. It must be something really... Breaking Shabbat is obviously really, really, really big. So everything about us is I'm fearful, making a mistake. Right? The Gemara says. But everything is answered except the fear of heaven. How do we increase the fear of heaven? How do we careful this need of fear, of watchfulness, of zehirut? Watching what you do on Shabbat. And by the way, when it comes to laws of Shabbat, as we'll learn next semester, we'll go through the Lamentet Malachot, if you join that class, which I urge you to do if you've not learned through the laws. Because as I pointed out, it's impossible to keep Shabbat properly by not learning the laws. It is not something you can see someone else do. You can see someone else eat matzah and know how to do the mitzvah. You can see someone else live in a sukkah and know how to do the mitzvah. See someone do tzedakah and know how to do that as well. Lots of things you can see and learn. Impossible to keep Shabbat that way. Two identical actions. One person is doing a mitzvah and one is doing a terrible aveira. Two people are sitting down with, I don't know, rice and beans. And one person wants to take the beans out from the rice because they like beans. And one person wants to take the beans out of the rice because they don't like beans. Two people, same action, for two different reasons. One is being Mechal Shabbat, Doraisa, on Borer. One is having Oneg Shabbat. Same act, two completely different... Everything we do, opening an orange container, opening a can of soda, cleaning a stain, right? Mopping up something, using a broom, playing a ball game. There's questions on so many things that we take for granted that we do the whole time when it comes to Shabbat. You have to learn. By the way, the more you learn, the more you're able to do. People think it's the other way around. The more I learn, less. But this zehirut of Shabbat is a very, very big thing. I'm very careful. Everything we do on Shabbat, for Sabbath, it's like, oh, can I do this? Can I not do that? Right? You have to look it up. Right? And constantly. It's a lifetime's work. You constantly, but my point is, it's impossible to be zahir. So the rabbis are teaching you, look, We're trying to tell you something. Right? Even though it's one in a thousand, we don't let a person sound the shofar on Shabbat. Can you see how careful we need to be with the rest of Shabbat? Now, we're going to let you use an Eruv. Right, do the Brit Milah and go with your kids and build an Eruv. We're going to let you do that. But don't forget. Don't get let it become light in your eyes. Carrying is still one of the Malachot of Shabbat. Now, interesting why they choose this Malach as opposed to others. Carrying, Hutzah, happens to be also considered to be a Malacha Chalusha, a weak Malacha, because you're not creating anything. Every other Malacha, you're actually creating something. With this Malacha, you do something unusual, you're just moving with an item in your hand from one place to another place. Something we do all the time. Like, unconsciously, we just carry things. That's what we do. So maybe this Malacha was chosen for that reason. This is my postulation. So I could be wrong. But this Malacha is actually very easy to break because I'm not doing anything. I'm just carrying something. All the other 38 Malachot, I believe, if you look at them, you actually do. You create something, right? You're writing something. You're building something. You have to do it. Actually, you're creating something. Here, I'm not creating anything. I'm just in my pocket and I'm walking outside. So maybe this particular Malacha was chosen to teach this particular idea because it's so easy to do. Very easy to break this particular Malacha. But the rabbis didn't want us to not move anywhere or carry things. They said, fine, build an Eruv, be conscious, watch out, have Zahirut, and you're okay. Right? Check your pockets, make sure there's no muksa inside, which we're going to see as a mitzvah. Make sure the Eruv is up, be notified of it, or whatever it is. Right? Become informed of the various laws, and then you can do it. Right? The rabbis wanted to enjoy Shabbat. They gave us the possibility. But they also said at the same time, be very, very, very careful. Yeah. It is very easy to do. That's a given. It's called a malacha chalusha, a weak malacha, because you're not creating anything. I am postulating that maybe that particular malacha was chosen to teach this lesson, right, by not carrying on, in order to teach you that be very careful, because that is the easiest malacha to break. Because you're not even doing anything, you're just walking around. I'm not writing, building, cooking, skinning, separating, watering. Oh, no. I'm just walking with something in my hand or pocket. So that's my own personal thought. I could be wrong, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Thoughts, comments, ideas, heckles. Yes, Whitney.
So you keep saying that, like, when you sound the shofar, you're making a note. And that's technically music, so why couldn't you do that, like...
Because it appears very good. We learn out all the laws of Shabbat, we'll see next semester. Mm-hmm. You didn't deal with me yet, did you? No. From the laws of the Mishkan, 39 Malachot. Mm-hmm. There isn't one of them that says you cannot sound an instrument. They made a gezera, a takana, the rabbis, on playing musical instruments, because maybe you'll break a string, or you'll come to fix the item itself. The shofar, as far as I know, it doesn't have any implements. It's just a sound that comes out of a horn. So in and of itself, it's not a malacha. Schlepping it around is. But actually the sound itself is not a malacha. So we don't. We don't sound the shofar at all. Right? Except to be muksa, I believe, as well. We don't even use the shofar. Because you can't use it, it has no use on Shabbat. Okay? But actually sounding the shofar is actually not one of the 39 malachot. It just isn't. It's a rabbinic decree not to play certain instruments you may come to fix them. And that is a problem. Being metakan, fixing an instrument, right, would actually be a malacha. Okay? Yeah?
What are the halachas about using hot water in Shabbos, from your sink? Because I thought you weren't allowed to, and my friend said she lives in an apartment, and the rabbi said because the apartment...
So this is a very big discussion. Hold on, I just want to close this little segment of philosophy up. Are we all good with this? Any other thoughts on this? Okay. You're asking a very...